mountains. We must not give up the fight. We must be like Moses. We've got to keep on trying. Canaan land is just inside.
I could listen to that song all day long. Canaan Land is just in sight. There's something exciting and joyful and exhorting about it. And, of course, my favorite thingers there. All right. So what we're going to do now is my brokenhearted presentation, which I've given many, many, many times, I consider it, the information in it, the scriptures and everything, superb with the Lord. And I've prayed with so many brokenhearted people through the years, and it's been with marvelous, marvelous results, absolutely marvelous results. So now, the last time I spoke in Pakistan, oh, by the way, in case you haven't heard, India did attack Pakistan today. India said that they zeroed in on the terrorist centers of Pakistan, and they apparently went after, like, I don't know, buildings and bunkers and things like that. They didn't attack the Pakistani army or civilians. That was good. That was really good. But they did attack Pakistan today. But the last time that I spoke in Pakistan was just recently, just before I spoke. That's my phone. I'll have to let them leave a message. I don't know who it is. So, just before the show, minutes before the show and actually into the show, the Lord had me, rearrange the sequence of scriptures and what I was saying. And it went over really, really well. Jamil, the pastor I work with there, and others, and Abba Fathers International Fellowship, Jamil called me later and said they were greatly blessed. They said it was powerful. The reorganization was powerful. And we had hundreds come to the Lord, and I don't know how many hearts were healed, and there was physical healings. So it was, it really, really was wonderful. So I'm teaching tomorrow night that Word of Life. And I was looking at the brokenhearted presentation, and I felt that it should be arranged into a different order. So I spent a long time today. Well, I spent time today to do that. Seek the Lord, and I'm very happy, and I hope you are. I hope you are. I'm telling you, I'm very happy. So if you're not happy, I don't know what I'll do. After saying you, I'm very telling you, I'm very happy. Didn't quite finish it. I probably will have to do this in two parts. The first part here will be part A, part B, like, and I'm really excited. I see what the Lord had me do, and I'll explain to you the sections. I'll explain to you how this whole thing came together. So let me get back over here, and this is, I love that broken heart. That is absolutely incredible. The artwork on that. So this is how we'll open up. And then part, then the next thing is, I'm calling this a discipleship course. And the focus is way more than healing the broken heart. The focus is how to walk with God as Abba Father. That's really the focus of this. I mean, healing the broken heart is wonderful, but what is actually, what would be the word, the goal? The goal there in the ministry of Jesus Christ in Luke 4:18 is to bring us into one accord with Abba Father. That's really what it is. Because the first part is he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He paid the penalty for our sin so we can be with God in heaven. And the second part is that our fractured inside, our heart fractured because of sin and the sin-cursed world is healed so we can function with him, live with him as our Abba Father, which God desires. So this is actually a discipleship course. It's way more than just healing the broken heart. And then this is my contact information. People want to contact me and go to my website, things like that, email me. All right. And then the next is, I refer to this teaching that I'm doing really in an overall sense of the Luke 4:18 ministry, because it's centered, this teaching that I'm about to give is centered around Luke 4:18. And that's the ministry of Jesus Christ. So Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's part one. Part two is he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And then I'm going to go right into my testimony. Now, of course, Sister Sharon, I'll get her right now because she'll have to tell me that she loves this. So, Sister Sharon,
yes,
how is the opening now so far?
Oh, I love it. I love it when you talk about the Luke 4:18 ministry, which you are. And and look, there's my knobby knees.
Yes, yeah, that's why I was laughing.
There's my knobby knees. You know, I got a picture of him in my email that once in a while pop up, and I just sit there and look at it. It's so cute. But
Sister Sharon, didn't you say you'd like that picture I have with all my children?
Oh, absolutely.
Did I send you one?
I don't know if I got that one or not, but I'll send you a note to get one.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's no problem me sending to you. Yeah. So yeah, I use this as my testimony, and unless you're really new here, you've heard my testimony, and I think Randy could probably give it as good as I could.
I love that.
And so this is my testimony here, and then I will be using Elizabeth Marquard because she's the one. Her writings there and teaching, speaking is what led me to believe I had a broken heart, needed to be healed.
Right, right.
So, all right.
Yeah, so I agree with you changing it around like this and you're starting really at the real beginning.
Right. Now watch, it's going to change dramatically here very soon. All right, now I got the heading going into the broken heart right away. I'm not going into Luke 4:18 right away or anything, but so watch. Symptoms of a broken heart. So people that are listening to me as I'm teaching, they immediately will be able to identify if they have a broken heart or not.
Amen.
And that's,
it's right at the beginning. Yes.
It's right up front. This here was kind of in the back. And there's nothing wrong with putting it in the back. But I sought the Lord about how to structure this. So he had me put the symptoms up front. And when I came to the Lord in 1974, if anyone had preached what I'm preaching, well, now, what I'm sharing with you now, preaching tomorrow night, I would have immediately known that I had a broken heart. I didn't. I had nothing to gauge that I had a broken heart with at all. And it took 30 years. That's part of my testimony. It took 30 years from 1974 to 2003, to somewhere in there, for the Lord to get to me that I had a broken heart that needed to be healed. So the people that are watching this, live or, well, yeah, they could be watching it over the internet live and all. They'll see this and immediately they can identify whether they have a broken heart or not. So, and in fact, I did add two more to it. So let's go down the list here. Fear, various forms. So many people are dealing with low-grade fear, anxiety. It's still, it's fear. And all of that fear robs God's power and love from us. And it affects, no matter how it is, whether it's low-grade anxiety all the way up to terror and panic attacks, fear, we don't want 1 ounce of it flowing in us. Depression. And feeling of hopelessness. In fact, what I'll do is when I'm speaking, I will add suicidal thoughts. But that'll go right in there. Constant feeling of condemnation. Dislike yourself. I'm not talking about people being narcissists to love yourself, but to accept ourselves and just function without even thinking there's anything wrong with us. This is in the Lord now. But disliking ourselves, rejecting ourselves, hating ourselves, that's a sure sign of a broken heart. Deep feelings of loneliness, that would have reached me if I would have heard preaching on that. That one would have got me. Constant feelings something is wrong. It's like a hanging, it's just like that something hangs around us. And I added that because this feeling that there's something wrong is a sign that we're broken inside. And the last one is vivid memories of traumatic events. And I put that in red because that is the sure sign of a broken heart. If people, I'll never forget it. It was fairly, I think it was the first church after I spoke in the church that I wanted to pray for those with broken hearts. I had asked the pastor and he said it was okay. So a good number of the people, I mean, I stayed for a long time. I must have stayed 2 hours after church praying with people. No problem. I didn't mind that, but there was a long line of people I wanted to be prayed for. So this middle-aged woman came up and she said to me, I want to talk to you about my mother. I don't need to be prayed for, but she's coming next. and I want to give you background. She just came out of the hospital. She's had a heart attack. She's 82, 83, and she's got a very, very bad, broken heart. Of course, that's spiritual, not the physical. I just wanted to let you know of this. I said, okay, thank you. So then the mother came up, and she was 82, 83. And what happened was, what I remember of ministering with her, she had like a wonderful life. I mean, really. Her husband had recently passed away, but she had a wonderful marriage with him. And she had five children and a whole bunch of grandchildren. And all her children, they got along fine, and they loved each other and all. So she just had this, like, kind of a little bit of bitterness to her and anger. So it turns out it was about her mother. And so I started to press about her mother. And she said, my mother ruined my childhood. She ruined it. And she did this and she did that. And she took away my childhood. And I don't remember all the details. I just remember it was about her childhood. And she was 10 years old and her mother, I think what happened was she may have come from a poor background, and she had to work with her mother, like taking care of the house and doing things. And so basically the problem was with her mother. But here's the thing. She vividly remembered. I mean, I remember her telling me when I was 10 years old, my mother did this and said that and did this and said that. And then she went through all of these events. Now, that was like 70 years ago, and vividly remembered it, whatever happened there. So I finally said to her, well, you know, your mother is long past, but I said, do you forgive her? And then she thought about it and thought about it, and she said, yes, I forgive my mother. Okay, so I said, we're going to pray now, and we're going to ask the Lord to heal you of all this, because you got a broken heart. So there's like 70, I remember she said 10 years old, and she was 83 when I, so it was 73 years ago, and she vividly remembered this event, that event, this event, this happened, that happened, and it was all with her mother. So that's why, that's early on, I picked up, the Lord showed me that the vivid memories, and it's never let me down, folks. Everyone that has a broken heart's got vivid memories of something that triggered the events for breaking the heart. And so if people have vivid memories, now, it's okay to have vivid memories of when you were a kid, grandpa took you to an amusement park and you had such a wonderful time and all that. That's fine. It's the bad ones. It's the bad vivid memories that break the heart. Those are the ones that they're traumatic. They stick in you. They're like alive in you. They're traumatic. So the part of healing the broken heart is, the Lord taking, healing the heart in such a way that those memories go into your past and they have no power over you anymore. But you, after a while, after the Lord heals your heart, you just forget it. It just, it's in the past, gone. Where when the heart's broken, the past is like yesterday. Things that happened 73 years ago was like it happened yesterday. That would have gotten me. I would have, if someone would have presented, you have vivid memories of traumatic events, I immediately would have realized I have a broken heart. So I want to put this up front, and that will draw everybody's attention to it, and they can self-examine themselves to see if, yeah, I do have deep feelings of loneliness. And wow, that event that my father did, and, you know, he did that. Wow, it was violence. You know, so yeah, people can know right away that they can self-examine themselves. Sister Sharon, what do you think of the way that's being laid out right now?
I think that is a very good idea. You know, put more of what you want. You got to draw people to this sermon. And it's just like so many people might just pass it up and not think about it. It's like you did all those years ago, 30 years without acknowledging that you had a broken heart. So I think that this is going to really catch people right there.
So see what I did first. I put like Christ and healing the brokenhearted first is there, but now I'm putting the broken heart first, and then Christ healed it. So it's all the same. It's just the sequence of it is changing.
Right, right. And the broken heart, you got to have people with broken hearts to do the second part. I mean, really.
Say that again.
You know, if you have people that have broken hearts and stuff, then that leaves you more open to help them with salvation
and
getting rid of a broken heart and everything.
Right.
With prayer, everything.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay. Now, this I added up front also. Now, I put what breaks the heart. See, I had all this at the end. Now I'm putting it up front. So what breaks the heart? Causes. Divorce, devastating to children there. Verbal abuse, physical abuse, hatred, sexual abuse, any age. Alcoholic personality. Severe trauma. Death. Abortion. War.
I like it.
You know, severe trauma fits a lot of things.
Right, right. So what type of time frame are you trying to put this heart in?
What do you mean time frame?
Okay, are you wanting to be able to teach this in what, 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Oh. No, I have pretty close to an hour.
Okay.
You see, I wanted to leave time to pray with people, but I don't think it just won't work, you know, because I want to come back. For the show, I want to come back to the show, so I want to leave it for them to contact me, I'll explain to them how I minister over the phone, but I just don't have time to pray with people. It's not open ended, you know.
Right, right. Well, I want to thank you for letting me ask these questions like this.
Oh, I want you to. Oh, please, I want you to.
So, you know that this is my, the Luke 4:18 and the broken heart is what brought me over to you. So, yeah, I love it. I just love it. And I love passing out those brochures, too.
Amen, amen. Okay, I'm just checking here, and Paula Jean is here. Hello, Paula Jean.
Good evening. It's good things that you're talking about. I think you've had some insight here, and we'll have to see how it goes, but it sounds promising.
Well, it'll catch the people right away. They'll be able to identify to it.
Well, and it will remove some blocks.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll get back to you. And then we have Joy here. Hello, Joy.
Hello.
Hey. Yes. Are you coming tomorrow night, Joy, to Word of Life?
Yes.
Well, you're getting a preview, because what I do here is I set up what I'm going to teach at Word of Life tonight. I go over it to see how everything flows. So you'll see this again tomorrow night.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Okay. All right. God bless you, then. Now I go to the results. Rejection, fear, unbelief, loneliness, shame, guilt, self-condemnation. I'm going to really stress that about people that hate themselves, loathe themselves. There's something traumatized them to be like that. And if people are carrying that, that's another like sure sign of a broken heart. Sexual problems really connected with the will. Post-traumatic stress disorder, drugs and alcohol, self-medication. All right. So I think this is power packed, putting this together right up front.
I agree.
Now, what I want to do is I want to go to the Hebrew and Greek about brokenhearted, because it's a little bit more detailed than just brokenhearted. So in Hebrew, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 nuances to it. And they're all the main overall view of brokenhearted is to break in pieces. The one that has to do with brokenhearted in Isaiah 61:1, it means to be broken, be maimed, be crippled, be wrecked, to be broken, be crushed. That's, you know, I mean, all of it is bad. You know, if you look at every nuance of it, to shatter and break, to cause to break, to be broken, shattered, the others, rend violently, wreck, crush, quench, to break, rupture. I mean, this isn't like a little brokenhearted means you don't feel good. This is really tough stuff. And the one that fits Isaiah 61:1 is to be broken, be maimed, be crippled, be wrecked, to be broken, be crushed. So people can identify now what a broken heart is. This isn't like you don't feel good. This is to be crushed, to be broken, crippled, wrecked. And it remains in that state till it's healed by Jesus Christ. All right, now we'll look at the Greek. To break, be broken in pieces, shiver, to tread down, to put Satan underfoot by crushing him, to break down, crush completely. Now, this is the one that directly affects me. To tear one's body and shatter one's strength. I felt whatever was wrong with me was constantly draining power out. There was something going on that I felt powerless. And I mentioned this many times. I felt like a car with a lot of power in it going down the interstate at high speed with the emergency brake on. There was something wrong. There was something draining that power. That was the brakes were slowing it down. I felt like walking like in the beach, and you go 20, 30 yards away from the water, and the sand is bone dry, and it'll come up to your calf, and you walk in it, and you go 20 yards, and you're exhausted. It drained the strength out of you. You know, that's the way I felt. When my heart was healed, no longer, that is gone, completely gone. I get tired and all, but not that inner being, inner strength being drained out of me. And the loneliness is what was draining my inner strength, constantly draining. So then the heart, the center and seat of spiritual life. And it also, it's the soul, and it also, the heart can, you see, it bleeds into the mind, as it is the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetite, affections, purposes, endeavors, of the understanding of the faculty and the seat of intelligence, of the will and character. I mean, our heart is huge, huge. So if our heart's broken, it has it's serious. It's everything about us is in our heart. All right, now I go into the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, starting at 1 Corinthians 15:51. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. All right, the gospel, the Corinthians received it, and they're standing in it, by which also ye are saved. All right, so this is the gospel, this is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. If you keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. All right, 1 Corinthians 15:3 now. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So there is the gospel. It's kind of clear, and it's not really theologically difficult. He died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and he rose again the third day. So there's one gospel with two parts. The first part is he died for our sins. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried. The second part, he bodily rose from the dead, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So we need saving faith. Believes that Christ died on for our sins on the cross there, and that he literally rose from the dead. Now that's bodily rose from the dead. So that is that's what we need to base our faith on for eternal life. Now this is very important. Christ rose with power. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, now look at this, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. That newness of life is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, because it tells you there that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So he was raised up from the dead, but by God's glory, and that we should also walk in newness of life. That's because of his resurrection power. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. The likeness of his resurrection. Now, likeness, a form, abstractly resemblance, and it's translated made like to, likeness, shape, similitude. So as Christ was raised from the dead, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That means that as he rose in power, and he was victorious. Sin had no hold on him. He took all our sin. But when he rose from the dead, he rose free from it. The resurrection power freed him from all of that. And that's what the scripture is saying. We should be living in the resurrection power. And it's the resurrection power that heals our broken hearts. It's the resurrection power that frees us from drugs. It's the resurrection power that breaks depression in us. It's the resurrection power that melts away fear from us. All of that. That's what we got to realize, that power, it's not just a doctrine. We have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the scriptures are applying his resurrection power to us. that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, also even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Luke 4:18, the ministry of Jesus Christ, the likeness of his resurrection. So we're back at Luke 4:18 again. The ministry of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, the gospel to the poor has to do about his death and shed death on the cross with his shed blood, paying the penalty for our sin. So the Holy Spirit was the one who anointed Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor. And the gospel to the poor, the second part, is the resurrection. And it says here in the second part of Luke 4:18, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised. So it's the resurrection power there, like Romans 6 was talking about. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's what heals our heart. He rose bodily from the dead in power, and we are supposed to be in his likeness. And we are supposed to walk in newness of life, which means healed hearts, to preach deliverance to the captives, to free the captives of strongholds, bondage in our minds, strongholds, recovering of sight to blind so we can see spiritually, to set at liberty them that are bruised or crushed. And when we look at Isaiah 61:1, which is the prophecy, and Luke 4:18 is the fulfillment, that means to be imprisoned. And that would be in bondage, under bondage of Satan, oppressed of the devil. So he's come to set us free from being bruised, crushed, oppressed of the devil. Right there, this is his ministry. His ministry is the gospel. Okay, and then I go into a little more explanation here. Part one, Christ died for our sin. And then part two, he bodily rose with resurrection power. And that's resurrection power is what heals the brokenhearted. It delivered us. It delivers us from being in bondage to Satan and with strongholds in our mind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, crushed. So all that have been crushed, bruised, oppressed of the devil, he's come to set us at liberty of that. Also, the ministry of Jesus Christ, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I love this verse. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Well, that's exactly what Luke 4:18 says. God, the Holy Spirit, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, that being oppressed of the devil is being brokenhearted, having strongholds in our minds. And then that oppression could also be having spiritual bondage, a spirit of fear and all. And then, of course, also physical healings in that. So there is this is the Lord's ministry. And we want to walk in that the same. And so when we're ministering to people, or talking to people, you can rest assured, if you're talking to someone that doesn't know the Lord, you can be rest assured that they have a broken heart. Now, even God's people can have broken hearts like myself. But you're talking to someone about the Lord, and you can rest assured one degree to another or another they have a broken heart. And that is a real topic that can get their attention. That's Christ came to give us eternal life and to also heal the brokenness that we have inside. So it's not only eternal life, but his ministry is to heal us inside, because this is a sin-cursed world, and that sin-cursed world can be extremely destructive to us, extremely destructive. And Christ has come to heal us, not to leave us broken and smashed and full of fear and anxiety and rejection and all of that. And then I want to show the importance of bringing Luke 4:18 to one thought. So grammar becomes very important here. The semicolon definition is used between two main clauses that balance each other and are too closely linked to be made into separate sentences. That semicolon brings, it jams healing the brokenhearted right into preaching the gospel to the poor. I mean, it brings it right together. And of course, healing the brokenhearted has nothing to do with salvation, but that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's bringing us to God through his shed blood, paying the penalty for our sin, and then healing us internally, our heart, our mind, our spirit, healing us so that we can now live with God as our Abba Father. And we can live with the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. All right. How the Lord heals the brokenhearted. So let me come back over. And, okay, Paula Jean, how are we doing so far here?
Well, everything's perfectly fine with me.
Okay.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right. Sister Sharon, how are you doing with this?
I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It makes sense putting it in this order, and I'm very happy about it.
Good. Good. And then we have Sister Rita.
I think it was good. The teaching was really good. And I don't know, it seems to flow a little bit better, bringing up the broken heart up in front first.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly. That's what I was Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And then, Joy, this is your first time really being exposed to this. And how was it flowing to you?
It's awesome. I'm excited hear that.
All right. All right. Now that, I'm very happy because, you're the first one. This is the first time you've heard this. So I'm very glad that you're blessed by it.
Awesome.
All right. Let me get back to the presentation. How the Lord heals the brokenhearted. I go into Isaiah 53, verses 3, 4, and 5. And this is the Lord dying on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And of course, on the cross, he made a blood covenant with us. We have a covenant. In fact, the Bible talks about the blood of the everlasting covenant that he made with us on the cross. So here it goes. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. So being despised, rejected, it says he was acquainted with grief. Well, that's all connected with a broken heart, folks. And we don't really think maybe of the Lord in that sense, but he was human also. You know, he was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. He was the only begotten Son of God, but he was human. Now think of this. When the Lord in Roman John 11 was at the tomb of Lazarus, he was just about to raise him from the dead. They were rolling back the stone that was placed in front of the tomb. And it says Jesus wept. Yeah. He was one of us, folks. He hungered. He thirsted. On the night before he went to the cross, he was in Gethsemane. And he called God Abba. He called his Father in heaven Abba. And he was under such intense pressure that he was actually sweating blood. So he was one of us. And he could have, like, developed here, as it was saying, a broken heart. Verse 4. Surely, now look at this, he took in him our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So on the cross, not only did he take our sin, but he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. So on the cross, Jesus took everything in on him that would be needed to heal our broken heart. And folks, I can't tell you how many times I read over this and never saw that. I never saw it. I just never thought that our emotions, the things internally that damaged us, that caused us to live in terrible grief and sorrows, on the cross, he took that too. So we could be healed and have a brand new heart to live with Abba Father as his little child. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. There's the sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. There's the sin. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, before the Lord died on the cross and rose from the dead, people at that time, going back, even Abraham they were sort of always, they could never have complete peace with God. You know, like every year they needed to, at Yom Kippur, they had to do with the sacrifice of the goat and all of that. So sin, and then during the year they committed sins. They had to sacrifice a sheep and so that was always on them. They didn't have peace like we can have peace. The chastisement of our peace was on him. So now through the ministry of Jesus Christ, paying the penalty for our sin and his resurrection from the dead, we can have what the Bible calls the peace that passes all understanding, which assures our heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So we can have a peace now that the world can never have. There's a lot of money spent on psychiatrists because people need peace and they can't get it, can't obtain it, because the place to get the peace is faith in Jesus Christ. So now let's look at this here, verse 5 again. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That's sin. He was bruised for our iniquities, sin. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Healing. We're healed now. And we can have peace with God. And with his stripes we are healed. So that with his stripes we are healed goes right back to us having peace with God. And it goes back to being bruised for our iniquities. It's connected with it and our transgressions. So I really want this to be so clear with you. But he was wounded for our transgressions, comma. He was bruised for our iniquities, colon. Everything is attached here. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, semicolon. And with his stripes we are healed. So what is healed? Well, we don't have any no more chastisement. We've got inner peace now. We're healed. He was bruised for our iniquities. So the penalty for our iniquities was paid for by what? With his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we have peace with God. With his stripes, we are free from the penalty for transgressions. So Isaiah 53:5 is really, really powerful because it ties it all together. There's the gospel right there. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And then he rose again the third day. And we know that the resurrection power, we should walk in the newness of life with the resurrection power. And what is that newness of life? Peace. Peace. The peace of God shall assure our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So all of that, folks, I'm in amazement, even as I'm teaching it now, I read over it and never, ever understood it. I understood clearly about wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. But the peace that can only flow in a heart that's healed, never did I make a connection like that, nor see it, or anything like that. But there it is. So like Luke 4:18 is right in Isaiah 53:5. You pull Isaiah 53:5 out and word it a little more, and there you got Luke 4:18. Yeah, and I'm showing you here. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's the gospel to the poor. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. People whose hearts are healed and they're living and walking with a healed heart have great peace. Have great peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All right. And this is it's a picture of how the Lord heals us. So here's the broken heart. And over on the right side is a fractured leg. And you could see how brutally fractured that leg is. So that's like a fractured heart. And then he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, Isaiah 61:1. So he binds it up. Here we have that fractured leg put together, and there is a rod that goes the length of where the fracture is, and he binds it up by putting that rod, screwing it into the bones, so that broken fracture can heal. It's bound up. It's bound, and then in time it heals. So that's a picture of what God does in us. That fractured heart, he binds it up. He puts it together. Now on the left-hand side there is a heart that's been broken, and I have to get the name of the Japanese. This is Japanese art. They take things that are broken, usually very, very valuable, and they make a glue, but there's gold in it. And they put the piece that's broken together, they glue it together with this gold glue. So that's a picture of a broken heart glued together. But here's the thing. The number one, it could make it very valuable because it's like an antique that's fixed. Number two, it's very desirable in certain circles to have these antiques that are put together by glue like this, because glue is very valuable, very expensive, because it's filled with gold. And that's like an analogy of our heart. God puts it all back together, and he glues it like with the power of the Holy Spirit, which makes our heart very valuable to God, folks, the healed heart. Our healed heart is precious. It's part of Christ's ministry on the cross. That's how serious God is for us to have healed hearts here on earth now. So it's very valuable because Jesus shed his blood on the cross so our hearts could be healed. This isn't trite with God. This is serious business, folks. Let me see here. That's where I ended today putting it together. And I'm looking to see. Okay. I think I'm going to stop here now, because that's where I really stopped today putting this together. And I'm going to go what I call the full ministry now. And I want to look into, when I say the full ministry, it's Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. Because there's more to Isaiah, Luke 4:18 and Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, which is the prophecy about Christ's ministry, is loaded with good stuff. And I want to go in there also. So I'm going to stop here now. And let's get back to see how everybody is taking this. So there we go. And by the way, I wonder what happened to Sister Kathy. Sharon, do you have any idea?
Well, she was going to go check on some program and stuff like that. And she did pop in for, like, back in for a few minutes or something, but left again.
All right, so we don't have to put out, contact the Statesboro police about her?
No, I think that everything's okay that way.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I know Charles isn't here either, but he had a bad, his connection to the internet was really bad this morning in the morning prayer program. So Kathy could be having internet problems in that area. He's not here, so who knows?
Okay. All right. Now, I guess we'll just take it one at a time here. Anybody that would like to call in and comment, 717-409-5553. There's a little bit more there at the end that I want to rearrange. That's as far as I got to tonight. Now, when you look at it, folks, because I'm going over it with you, it doesn't look like it would take a lot of time, at least as I'm looking at it. But it took a lot of time, folks. A lot of thought. A lot of the time is thinking, you know, how they fit together and the order. And then I'm dividing it up with, like, the ministry of Jesus Christ. And then behind it, I put the scriptures, the teachings about it. And then what is a broken heart? And I have a big lead-in, a big across the screen. And then I put the teachings behind it. And it just takes a lot of time, folks. Well, you know what I'm doing, too, is I'm getting all the fonts in agreement, the colors in agreement, the sizes, to make it nice and uniform. That's tedious. That takes a lot of time. All right, so Paula Jean, tell you what we can do. What we'll do is I'll take your opinions and we'll discuss it, and then you can choose a song. If you like, we can have some prayer, and then we'll go for each one, and that'll probably fill up the night. All right, Paula Jean, overall, I mean, that's about 80-90% of the presentation.
Well, I was very pleased, and what I always like to do is have the Lord give me something new that I hadn't noticed before.
Okay.
And I'm pleased to report that he gave me something new that has always been there, but I hadn't noticed it. And then by getting it, it gave me more to look for. But what was new for me was hearing that it was the glory of God that raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
Yes. And yes. So then that took me to, now, is Holy Spirit and the glory of God one and the same, but describing different elements of what they are? Because Holy Spirit is described in many ways throughout the Bible. The glory is described as very powerful, that whatever we need, you know, when the glory is upon us, it's being taken care of because we're in God's glory. And so I'd never looked at the two as being the same thing. I looked at the glory as being, you know, experiential, but not as part of God's personality.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes. Yes, I see what you're saying. Yes.
And so now it's broadening my looking now as I hear of the glory and the Holy Spirit and see how they walk together as one and the same in different experiences.
Amen.
Is that probably what I'll find? I mean, I don't know. I haven't done the exploration yet.
Yeah. Yeah. God's glory is Him.
Yeah. Yeah. But so is His Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, and it's not four in one, it's three in one. So I'm just, you know, I was just looking at that and saying, oh, this has always been there and I've never paid attention. So now I get to learn more.
Okay.
And so that's always good for me. That it keeps our research alive. You know, our hunger is always being filled with more because He's always expanding what's available to us. And so you were very helpful with that just by reading the Word and doing the research He's having you doing, you know. And I do believe that we have to be growing as we study the Bible, or else we're not really studying.
Right.
But sometimes my study ability is not at the same level that yours is. And so as I listen to you go through the process, it also helps me. So I'm learning how to do that as I listen. So you're sharing a lot with us, probably without even knowing how much you're sharing. But we pick up from the work you do what God wants us to. And so it's just a delight, and I'm grateful.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you want any prayer? Do you want to pray?
I need prayer, actually, yes. I don't know whether you're aware of it, but I had to replace two batteries in my car very recently, and it cost me over $6,000 because I had to do the big electric battery. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now, this Sunday, on my way home from a place in Concord, all of a sudden the bells and whistles went on. Fortunately, it was no more than five blocks, if that, from my home. And I just decided I'm driving home. I'm not stopping here and parking in an illegal place to park. So I drove home. But by the time I got home, the bells and whistles had gotten more. And so I just parked, and I haven't actually even been out to the car. I've been so traumatized by the experience, and I'm having to give it to God. I'm asking for His help and His protection. I'm hoping that something wasn't done bad to my car while they were working on it, because that was not very long ago. And I'm praying for guidance as to what I should do in looking at the car and then in looking at where I have it towed. So I want Him to guide me in all of this. He's been kind enough to give me peace so that I've been there for other people when they needed prayer. But yes, I need prayer tonight that He be in charge of helping me to redeem all that the enemy's trying to steal.
Okay. Father, we thank You so much. For Sister Paula Jean, Lord, we thank You for her devotion to You and Your word, Lord. She is a real, real disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, there is a vehicle problem with, she's just gone through, Lord, quite a large expense for the battery for the vehicle, Lord. And now something else is happening, and we're asking Your blessings, Lord. We're asking, Lord, that this would not be serious, that it could be fixed easily, Lord, or maybe it's under warranty, the work?
No. It's old, 5009. I don't know what it is now. 5009, yeah.
Yeah, but they did work on the car recently.
Oh, yeah. That was very recently.
Yeah. So it's still
under. Oh, and what I did notice is that a wheel hub off of, you know the wheels, the very center of where the wheel, it has a cover. That cover has come off, and one of the symbols that came up with the bells and whistles was low tire pressure. And I walked around all the tires. None of them looked low. But I found that cover over the middle of the wheel is off. I don't know if someone took it off or if it just fell off
right.
or what.
But okay. All right.
Just something.
So, Lord, we're asking that this would be fixed, Lord.
Yeah.
And that if the problem is under the warranty, Lord, that it will be done no charge, Lord.
Yeah.
So
if it's just a battery related thing, yeah, for sure.
So thank you. Now in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
We ask.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I definitely see my problem is as I'm beginning to have concern about the quality of the work that was done, and I have someone else over there in the same place. It's in the shop, the Toyota shop dealership, and the other person that I used to deal with, I've never had any questions about how much he was caring about getting me the information I needed. And this guy did. I had to find out what questions I needed to ask in order to get the answers. And so there's a difference in quality. So I'm looking for guidance on that too.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, Thank you.
All right. Mr. Sharon, bye-bye. You're up.
Okay. My broken heart probably was the worst when I lost Bobby's dad and stuff. And I just fell apart. It's like a piece of crumbling old whatever and stuff like that. I got to where I couldn't stand even being at work and everything. And so I left work and I just sat. And I crumbled here at the house and taking care of Bobby and stuff. And so it was rough. And then, you know, all of a sudden I found myself going back to church. It was in several different churches that I was trying. And I got back to one that was very, very familiar to me. And I started feeling God's love again, and I knew that God was with me, and I was all the time like wanting to scream, God, where are you? Jesus, where are you? I need help. And it was just a terrible, terrible feeling. But I would be screaming because, you know, the way I grew up and stuff, trusting in Jesus and with all the family and stuff, and it was just so hard. And I would do a comparison to it. All right, now whatever happened to me, I don't know. That's why I'm flat and fed right now. I don't know. But I have never had a full-blown screaming attack over it. Once in a while, I have maybe a few tears come from my eyes, but I have never really cried about it. And stuff is just because I'm able to work with God and stuff. And I was before this happened, very, very involved with the brochures and working for God and stuff. And so you can hardly compare the two situations, but one would think that with me losing my mobility, that I would be more upset, but I'm not.
Okay. Wow. So the Lord's really worked deep in you, Sister Sharon.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I had your broken heart and a few 418 stuff that's well buried in my mind and stuff while I was at the hospital, and people were taking care of me and stuff. And it was just very, very interesting situation. And just my knowledge of what was going on was much more confirmed, if you know what I'm saying. I felt like I knew what I was saying, and I wasn't afraid to tell people, you know, about God and salvation.
Wonderful.
And I wanted them to know.
Okay. All right. Father, we thank you for this testimony of Sister Sharon and her heart being healed, Lord. And she is a living testimony of the resurrection power flowing in her life, Lord. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And that there is no bitterness in her or anger or anything like that. That's wonderful. And added to this, Lord, we are praying. It's been a very, very, her healing has been a very slow but very steady process. And we're asking now, Lord, for that final closing of that wound, Lord. And it'll change everything, Lord. That final closing will change everything. So we're asking for that, Lord. And there's no reason to, like, kind of ask for the hurry you up, Lord, because we have prayed quite a bit about it. But nonetheless, the doctors gave her a very bad report, Lord, early on. And you've taken her through that bad report to where she is now and very close to the wound being completely healed. And that'll change everything. So we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay. And then Sister Rita.
Okay. What are we doing, Chaplain John?
Final comments on
okay.
And anything you'd like to discuss.
Okay. Well, I found the way that you are laying out this discipling message is the way you have the way you're doing it is just really great, and I have been well blessed by it. But every time that you have taught the broken heart lessons, I feel like I did, or maybe I still, I don't think it's as bad as it was, but I think I didn't have a broken heart, and from my childhood, and I have since went to the Lord and prayed about it, and he has helped me. And more than that, he has healed me. But Sharon brought up something that about losing her husband, and about in 2020, January 31st, 2020, the Lord God took Art home. And at first, I didn't see it as a broken heart. But since you have been teaching this brokenheartedness, I believe I had a broken heart from him going home to the Lord. And it's something that just facing that I did have a broken heart has helped a lot. And going to the Lord and admitting that I was not as strong as I thought I was, and that I needed him to get me through these last 5 years or so to a life of peace and enjoyment, and that your teaching has helped a lot for me. Because like I said, I really never faced my brokenheartedness until I started listening to you.
Oh.
So thank you for that, Chaplain John.
Yeah, that's the tendency we have, Sister Rita, is to suppress the broken heart. That we all tend to do that. And yet that brokenness remains, and it does have an impact on us.
Right.
And the Lord. So, Lord, we bring Sister Rita before you, Lord, and we're asking now about the loss of her husband. They're going to be with you. That you, the Comforter, would come, Lord, and comfort her, and keep her from loneliness, Lord. Keep her from developing a deep broken heart, Lord, where your comfort is alive, Lord. It's as she turns to you, it becomes real, Lord, and deeply real. So, Lord, whatever maybe vested she has of a broken heart, we're asking now in the name of Jesus, you would heal it. You would heal her broken heart and fill her with your love, peace, and joy. With your love, peace, and joy. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Thank you now, Lord. Now, she mentioned maybe something about her youth. Lord, anything going back to her youth that she was dealing with a broken heart, Lord, if there's anything there, we ask that that would be healed also, Lord. She would be completely free, completely free from any bondage, Lord. And that complete, total freedom will give her a new interaction with you as her Abba Father. There'll be no broken heart to interfere with it. There'll be an open channel between you and her, Lord, and she'll even grow more in you, Lord. She'll grow more with you as an Abba Father now, as her heart is completely healed. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chaplain John.
Okay.
Thank you so very much for that prayer. Thank you.
All right. Is this Gigi? And Randy? Hello? Yeah, Gigi and Randy? Hello? All right. And then we have Joy here. Hello, Joy. Any comments?
Hi, Pastor John. I want a prayer request for healing of me and my younger sister's relationship. And I wanted to reconcile. She's waiting to reconcile with me. Yeah.
Okay. Father, we're asking now with Joy and her younger sister. She's requesting reconciliation. And I ask, Lord, that any damage occur through life, Lord, any from whatever, Lord, that there would be forgiveness, hearts would heal, be healed, Lord, and that they would be in a new relationship with each other, which would bring them closer to you. Because as we grow in love, we grow in you, Lord. The more we grow in love, that is, the Bible says God is love. So you are very pleased when strife is dealt with, hearts are healed, Lord. Hearts are filled with your love. So this pleases the Holy Spirit tremendously, Lord. So that's what we want to see, a healed relationship between them, and for Joy to continue to grow in you, Lord, to grow in love with you as our Abba Father. This is your heart's desire, Lord. So we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. All right. And I closed my eyes and opened them. And who's there? But none other than Sister Kathy. Hello, Sister Kathy.
Howdy.
Yes, Sister Sharon gave me assurance that you are all right.
Yes, I was all right, and I am all right, and I'm excited, and I just caught the end of Joy's prayer, or your prayer for Joy, and we will sure be agreeing with that as this Company of Believers does. So it's so good to have Joy with us.
Yeah. Amen. Now, she got a preview of tomorrow night because she'll be at the Word of Life tomorrow night.
All right. She can tell everybody else. I already knew that.
You know what? I'll have her go up and teach it, Sister Sharon.
Hey, that's a great idea. Give her till next week. Let her do it next week.
Next week? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But what happened was I had mentioned that the last time I spoke in Pakistan, oh, by the way, India has attacked Pakistan today.
Yes.
And what I found out was they attacked terrorist locations within Pakistan.
Okay, so they were trying to get rid of the evildoers?
Yes, they didn't attack.
Okay, well, that's justifiable then, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So here's the thing. Jamil was telling me all the places that were under attack. And then one of them was a place that we spoke at through the years a number of times. It was a town there. And apparently it's a hotbed of terrorists in that town.
Man. Mm.
So, wow, that was something. At that time, I didn't know that they attacked only terrorists. Locations and that until I checked the news about it, and it said that India acknowledged that it attacked positions in Pakistan, that it was terrorist headquarters.
Was there much loss of life?
No word yet.
No word.
No word yet.
Talking about the buildings more and stuff, but not about human life.
So what happened, Sister Karen, when I spoke last, just before I spoke, minutes before, the Lord gave me, changed the outline I had been using. And I really liked it, the way he had me change it. So today I was taking my brokenhearted teaching, and I said, Lord, do to it like you did last time I spoke in Pakistan. So he did. And I rearranged.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. And that's what we were going over tonight, how I had rearranged it. And I think everybody was really blessed by how it's rearranged. Sister Sharon, would you tell Kathy about the results of rearranging it?
No, I didn't get a chance to because he's just now hearing about it.
No, he means tell me now.
Tell you now.
Oh, okay. Well, he's starting off with knobbiness and stuff and that part. And then it finishes up with Luke 4:18. You know, so he talks about...
Sharon, you don't have to give her details, just your overall opinion of it. That's okay. You don't have to give...
I love it. My overall opinion is I love it. And I know you will too, Kathy.
All right.
What I do, Sister Kathy, is up front, right up front, I put how to identify a broken heart.
Yes.
And then I put causes of a broken heart, results of a broken heart. Right up front.
Cool.
And
roped them in. They can't leave.
That's what he's telling them, Kathy, that the way he was talking and teaching it, it's going to, people are going to like be snapping their fingers so quick to want to stay and hear more.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not very happy about this.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then after having the heart healed by learning all about this and, maybe even calling in and having a private session, if that's needed. Then they'll be hungry to receive Jesus because they will experience his healing and his love.
Amen. And
is that
that's
right?
What it's going to take.
Yeah.
So I'm excited the way it's been reorganized. It's really, it just flows. It just flows. Mm-hmm. Before, I was giving all the truth out, but it wasn't, it was more fragmented, I guess is the best way. This here is smooth now. It's one set of scriptures and one like PowerPoint slide after the other. They just flow right nice, Sister Kathy.
That is awesome. Awesome, awesome.
And what I especially like about this, since you're doing it this way, is I did not sense that there'd be any open door at all for someone to be questioning, is this for me? It's just the other way around. It's like for everyone for whom it is will be very clear.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes, because I start off with, if this was preached to me in the beginning, when I came to the Lord, I would have identified myself with a broken heart.
Mm. And that just really opens the door for them to be vulnerable to even look at the possibility, you know? I mean, because it does. It takes a level of vulnerability to let yourself see what's been and could be holding it back.
Well, people have had such horrific things done to them through their life that it's difficult to come forward and even tell someone about it. You know?
Right.
So I've often said it's easier to lead someone to the Lord for salvation than it is to get them to seek healing for a broken heart. So that's why we should do it at the time of salvation.
Yes.
Pray over them. And we don't have to go into great detail with people unless they want to. But when you're leading someone to the Lord, or I'm speaking at the church and I pray for repentance, salvation, then go right into the healing the broken heart in a general sense. Make them aware that part of the gospel is to heal broken hearts. So they're not isolated. They're not like, have no idea what's going on. So if we do that at the time of salvation, that'll link them right up with the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit can sort of, if not right then, but the Spirit can immediately start working on them for the healing of their broken heart.
Amen.
All right, Sister Kathy. What's that?
I said it's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah, and Chaplain John,
yes.
I think that one thing while you're doing your teaching and stuff, be able to slide in there as much as possible that people can come and talk to you and have phone call with you and stuff like that. And you'll not go to the end of the show and then say, because people might leave early and stuff. So if you can put in there, you know, two or three times during the show.
Okay. Okay. That's a good idea. All right.
Yeah.
All right. We're getting into the final run here now. And Sister Kathy, would you bless us with a song that you would like?
Let's see. I will say, I'm just going to say The Lord is Good. I think that's the name of it, but it's Steve Brock.
Okay, here we go.
The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good. He reached down and touched me when I was so low. I could not get up or go down any further. My sins, which were many, He forgave and forgot them. Oh, I know the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good. I was sick in my body. I could not get well. The doctors had told all they could tell. Then the great physician, he passed by my way. Oh, I know the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I must stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good.
He is. Thank you so much.
Now, I've heard that. I've heard that song before, but didn't know.
Yeah, because we played it here.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I've heard it too outside of here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was immediately. Yeah. That's a wow. That is a wonderful song.
Yes, it can make you happy.
Okay. Now, who's next? Sharon, what song would you like?
Okay, I am going to go with 10,000 Reasons for the Dez Man.
The Dez Man, yeah. I like this one the best because it's very good, but I hear Redman's British accent, which blows me away. I thought he was an American. Because when you sing, you kind of lose your accent. It sounds like before Babylon, when God confused the nation. They had one, there was no accents or anything. I was just blown away. I went like, whoa, he's British. Because it came out strong, but you don't hear it when he sings, right, Sister Kathy?
No, you sure don't.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. 10,000 Reasons.
Yeah. We've sung a lot of hymns tonight. My favorite hymn writer was Charles Wesley. And his very last hymn he wrote, age 81 on his deathbed, says this: "In age and feebleness extreme, who shall a helpless worm redeem? Jesus, my only hope thou art, strength of my failing flesh and heart. Oh, could I catch one smile from thee and drop into eternity?" Does anyone feel that unshakable hope and love for Jesus Christ in this place tonight? Yes, on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Oh, Jesus, still my soul, sing your praise unending.
I guess we're at that time, and yeah, right. We are. Went fast tonight, didn't it, Sister Sharon?
It sure did, absolutely.
Well, I'll be here tomorrow morning, and then tomorrow I leave usually around 5:30 my time, 5:45, and I speak at 7. Then I'll come back soon as I can, and we'll have I don't know what. The last time I think I taught on the fruit of the Spirit, and that was a long time and before that, but I was really blessed by it. So we'll see. We'll get something up and teach on Wednesday nights. So God bless you, and Sister Sharon and Kathy will be here. Because you can call in at the regular time. We won't be streaming till I get here. So you can call in at 717-409-5553. And I'm going to close with really one of my favorites now. Yeah, I think you all know what it is. Let me get it over so you can see. There's nothing really to see but an odd songbook.
are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. With each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Side by side, we will work with each other. We will work side by side, and we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Father, from whom all things will come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his one and only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us all as one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our
God bless everybody. Thank you for critiquing me. I feel confident now to go in there and share all this, because it's really, I think, double, quadruple the impact on people the way it flows now. Flowing, yeah. The information is very important. So God bless you, and I'll come back and give you a report tomorrow night, and looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And every one that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. God bless you.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim.
Sanctify today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.